The Guardian.
World Cup Football Daily with James Richardson.
World Cup Football Daily, Saturday, and it's another cracker. Ghana-Germany. One manager was happier, but the others got closer to the knockout stages. Meanwhile, Iran-Nigeria, they were tearing up the form books. How many chances did they have? But Messi's finish sees Argentina through. And with Nigeria's beating of Bosnia, that's your Saturday. But ooh, here comes high tension Sunday as we preview Belgium-Russia, pressure on Capello, Portugal-USA, pressure on Ronaldo, and South Korea-Algeria, pressure on James Horncastle. That nearly hit you, James.
Did.
Yeah, pressure on James Horncastle. You're doing South Korea, Algeria.
Am I?
Later, yeah.
I'm playing volleyball at the moment.
You certainly
I'm
are.
I'm recreating that great scene from Top Gun.
I've never seen you. Never seen you topless before.
No, I know. Well, I've got this little sports bra on.
Later on, we'll be recreating another great scene from Top Gun, where they all sit with towels loosely knotted around their midriffs and splay their legs in the dressing room.
Wow. Take my breath away, James.
Indeed. Tell you what, it's going to be a special pod, and we're going to be speaking to some pretty miserable people along the way. You're not one of them, though. Jacob Steinberg?
Nope, not at all.
Good?
Yep.
All right. And rightly not being miserable, because there's been some great football today. We've just finished watching Bosnia-Herzegovina's defeat against Nigeria. We'll come to that a little bit later on. Earlier, there was almost history made when Iran played Argentina, but there wasn't quite, and we'll come on to that as well a bit later. I propose that we begin with this sensational Ghana-Germany. It finished 2-2. It was a great game. All sorts of excitements here. Asamoah Gyan, who scored now in each of the last three World Cups. He's now the top-scoring African, or he's joint with Roger Miller as the top-scoring African in World Cup history. You had... What else did you have?
You had Germany... The defence being maybe exposed as we thought it might have been at the start of the World Cup, and it certainly wasn't by Portugal, who were extremely poor in the first game against them. But Ghana, who were probably the better side when they lost to the USA on Monday night, but they lacked a little bit of incision and a bit of thought around the final third this time, didn't suffer from that at all. Scored two cracking goals, and you know they'll leave with regrets though, because certainly when, I think it was Jordan AU went through at 2-1 and didn't pass it across to whoever it was in the middle. I'm not sure who was in the middle waiting for a tap-in. He cut inside, was selfish and shot. And then inevitably you get the German fight back.
And it was closer.
Closer, equaling Ronaldo's record.
Closer. That was amazing, wasn't it? Yogi Love took time out from exploring the inner reaches of his nostrils to throw closer on. And within seconds he was rewarded with that goal. Which puts him now, what, 15 goals?
15 goals each.
He scored in four World Cups, which is even better than Asamoah Gyan. He's now scored, James, more World Cup goals than the fellow they call Das Bomber in...
Gerd Müller.
Exactly. Extraordinary. And he's been rewarded with a tweet celebrating his achievement from not only Sepp Blatter, but also Rihanna.
And Ronaldo.
And Ronaldo sent him one as well.
Yeah.
So that's three.
He's having a big day.
What you going to do, England?
Yeah. Maybe give the somersaults a rest, though.
Yeah. Yeah, at that age.
Yeah, I mean, particularly given his groin and hamstrings have been keeping him out of Lazio's games this season. But
absolutely.
He's been saving himself for that goal. He's got it.
It's a good header by Götze as well. It takes a lot of skill to put it onto your knee
onto your
and still
knee.
Score.
It's almost Chicharito-like.
I hope he meant that.
Was it curious that the equaliser from Ghana was almost identical only about a minute later?
Yeah, but this time an actual header.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the move was eerie in his similarity.
Yeah. Germany do play amazing football, but you do sort of wonder about sort of loath to say character, given they fought back. But there is something to that with them. Over the last few years, that they do have this habit of blowing sides away at times, but also there is a sort of fragility to them that you kind of sense. You know, you saw that maybe when they lost to Italy in the Euro 2012 semi-final when they were expected to win, and you are kind of waiting for a defining performance from this side.
I mean, they've been waiting 18 years for one. No?
But I think, you know, particularly in the last few years where people have started to actually like Germany because they have all these nice little footballers. But you do wonder if, you know, have they lost a little bit of that kind of edge that
Andy,
I think,
Mueller.
Matthäus was talking about that before the tournament. And, you know, just there's something that remains slightly unconvincing about them, whether they are going to properly grasp this opportunity that is there for them.
Right. But the result leaves Germany with 4 points. Ghana with one, and looking in a very precarious position.
Ghana should probably have at least 3 points,
but they don't.
They you know, it'd be a shame, the guy, because they play pretty good football. Mm. They're an interesting side to watch. They've got some good players. You know, Jan, you sort of we haven't seen him for what, 2 or 3 years in England because he's gone and played in the Middle East, but still got it.
Yeah,
it's a good finish.
Yeah,
Schweini's still got it as well. He looked good once he came back in, for Germany.
Yeah, I mean. I think, as Jacob was saying, to some extent, this Germany's team does lack that kind of that bit personality, you know, in terms of they don't have that kind of peacocking sort of midfielder like, I don't know, Andy Muller or Effenberg from the past. And you do sense they have mistakes in them.
Right.
That back four, with it being all, centre-backs, Boateng got injured, went off, Mustafi came on, he was culpable for the first goal. Neuer made that kind of eccentric kind of, what did he do? He tried to lost the ball
He was going to throw it, but forgot to let go of the ball, crucially, and so it looped up over his head and looked like something awful was going to happen, but he still managed to hang on and hoof it upfield and made it look almost like it was choreographed. I don't know, I suspect that a lot of managers in this World Cup would love to have the kind of problems that Germany have, and in a tournament that has seen fragilities and frailties in so many of the sides, that they actually still look a pretty decent bet. The other thing I was surprised to read amidst the flurry of stats around this game was that Germany actually traditionally struggled in their second game.
Yeah, they won their first game last time 4-0 against Australia and then immediately lost to Serbia 1-0 in the next game. I still have them as amongst the favourites to win it, certainly one of the European sides that could definitely win it alongside probably Holland and France at the moment. But yeah, you're just waiting for that proper big game performance from them that would suggest they are the real deal. Because I think, you know, in 2010, although they absolutely stuffed England and Argentina, those were two poor sides, and then they were comfortably beaten by Spain in the semi-final. Same in Euro 2012, you know, they didn't, you know, once it came to the proper game against Italy, they were found wanting. So I would like to see them come up with the goods when it really matters.
I bet they would too. Anyway, it was a terrific match. Second half in particular was some of the most enthralling football we've seen so far, and it's been a cracking tournament all round. Prior to that, what to make of the extraordinary match between Argentina and Iran?
Yeah, I mean, Argentina disappointing again. Yeah, I mean, they went back to the 4-3-3 that they'd played in qualifying, which had worked so well for them.
Yeah.
And yet they were sluggish.
But that's not the story that we want to tell here, James. Heroic Iran. Cateranacho, as Jamie O'Halloran puts it. Extraordinary. And yeah, hats off to Carlos Queiroz, because they don't look the most talented group of players, but they held out for 91, was it, minutes?
Yeah. I mean, he's a great coach for drilling teams, you know, defensively. I mean, that was one of the attributes he brought to Manchester United. I think it was Patrice Evra recently was talking about the Champions League semi-final in 2008 when he kind of prepared them in terms of how to face Lionel Messi. And they shut him out in that game. And, you know, for 91 minutes today, he was a peripheral figure, and then he made the difference again with another moment of quality.
Certainly was. He's now scored 8 goals in his last 7 appearances for Argentina. But fair enough with the Cateranacho and all that and the great defensive drilling, but they actually could have won this game. They had a penalty, didn't they?
That was a penalty.
That was a penalty. And they had a number of big chances to score themselves. Producer Pete's big favourite player, Gucci. Who did he hit the post, or
No.
Romero tipped it over the bar?
Right, but it was close. That was prior to that. Right at the death.
Yeah. Oh, that was
right at the death, there was a chance.
Yeah, he pushed that wide when he was through. You could just see he was slowing down and running out of pace. And Zabaleta, I think it was Zabaleta, was getting back, and he just shot too far away, too far from goal, and it was a good save. But that save from Romero, from De Jager, was maybe the save of the tournament so far. Looked all the world it was going in.
I mean, everyone was raving about Ochoa after that performance against Brazil, where, you know, really he made several saves, but only one was decent, I'd say. I think that was the one from Romero was better than any of the ones that he produced on that night against Brazil.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not again, like, it's hard to be convinced by Argentina, but I guess maybe it's better to be playing badly now and winning than it would be to be playing badly in the quarterfinal or the semi-final.
Or to be playing badly and losing, as some teams
do. To be doing that against a good team. You know, they're getting away with it at the moment because they've got... I'm sort of a bit worried about Aguero. He had a lot of injuries at the end of the season, didn't he? And he looked a bit off colour, quite slow.
I mean, he had that one chance, wasn't it, where Higuain kind of laid it off to him and he didn't really curl it beyond the goalkeeper. He didn't seem to have that sort of conviction that has been that we usually associate from him. But I mean, they're pretty underwhelming so far. But you have to tip your hat off to Messi, because so much of the narrative before this tournament about can he drag this Argentina team to glory like Maradona did? Well, he's having to. You know, it's him sort of producing these moments, which the reason why they're in the knockout stage is already why they've got 6 points instead of one, you know, or two, you know.
They said on the BBC, is it harsh to criticise? I think it was Gucci who let him get away for the goal. So is it harsh to criticise him for going onto his left foot? Cause, well, yeah, but that's, everyone knows he's going to do it. Doesn't mean
the bigger problem the fellow who was trying to dribble past two Argentines in the midfield who gave the ball away that then led to that late? It was the 92nd minute, and he had players he could have passed to, but he just decided he'd have a stroll with the ball through an Argentine midfield, and it didn't work out too well for him. There you go, though. Iran could still qualify. Is that right? They could still qualify.
Yeah, they have to beat. But that's good for them, though. That result is good for them against Nigeria beating Bosnia, because it means Bosnia are out. Iran now play Bosnia, a Bosnia side with nothing to play for, maybe quite downhearted, whereas Iran can, although they'll be disappointed about conceding a 91st minute goal to Messi, they'll also know that they actually produced their one of the performances of the World Cup. So if they can lift themselves, then that's a game they could win. And then you would think maybe Argentina were going to beat Nigeria. So
Messi will beat Nigeria.
Bold words, James Horncastle. Yeah. Well, let's talk now about Nigeria, Bosnia Herzegovina, which you just done the minute by minute for, Jacob. A game rich, laden indeed with history. Peter Odemwingie scoring the game's only goal, but that was after Edin Dzeko had a perfectly good opening goal for Bosnia, ruled out for a completely non-existent offside. But for the first time in World Cup history, ta-da, a player from an English league club has scored against a keeper from the same English league club. We've been waiting for that to happen forever, and now it has.
Stoke making their mark.
Yeah. Tempering our excitement about that is our disappointment at seeing Bosnia, dark horses, TM, for so many people in this tournament, getting knocked out after just two games like a bunch of beginners, which they are, actually. Let's dial up now our very own Bosnian football writer, Sazo Ibruš, to hear what he made of it all. Sasa, good evening.
More or less.
Yeah, all right. Welcome to the club. It's got some illustrious members in it. Spain, England, yourselves. Yep.
Yeah. It sounds much better when you put it in that context.
Yeah, absolutely. A tremendously disappointing evening from Bosnia's point of view, not least because you scored a perfectly good goal to start off with, and that really would have changed the game.
Yeah, I completely agree there with you. That was probably one of the worst decisions in this tournament, and we have seen a couple of bad decisions so far. To be honest, I'm not sure how can someone rule that goal off. So, and yes, I agree that it would completely change the match, because the early goal would do to Nigeria, at least in my opinion, it would do to Nigeria what it did to us. The ruled off the disallowed goal.
So, aside from the goal, though, it did feel like a real step backwards from Bosnia's performance in the first game against Argentina.
Yeah, we did look poor and overall. So I would say that from a tactical point of view, we disappointed. From a physical point of view, from psychological point of view, even the approach was terrible, if you ask me. So yeah, it was overall disappointing night for Bosnia and Herzegovina.
You came into the tournament with so many people talking about this team as being one of the potential surprises of the tournament. So has it really sunk in that after only two games you're out already?
Yeah, to be honest, I never thought that we have a potential to be a big surprise here. But in such a group with teams that are quite even to us, and of course I'm talking about Nigeria and Iran, I think we had a chance to get to the knockout stage. And knowing how good or how bad is the situation in the country and how football is developed in the country, that would be equal to winning the World Cup for us. But now I have to say I'm disappointed, because even in this match where we looked probably the worst in the last 10 years, we were still in until the last second. And that's basically why I'm this disappointed.
Right. Dzeko hitting the post, or at least his shot crashing into the post off the goalie right at the end there. But at the same time, though, when you think of, I mean, you wrote a lovely piece before the Argentina game saying about your level of expectations with Bosnia previously, and the fact that you found yourselves there at a World Cup, hearing the anthem, playing at the biggest thing in football, even if it's ended badly, it's still incredible that you've even been in it.
Yeah, that's true. We are finally in the big stage, and we found our way to the big stage, and we want to stay there. And this was, at least I hope, that this was just the first step, a step forward in our football history. So we have to use this qualifying to the World Cup to build on it, to become the team that can be regular, or should be regular at the major tournaments. I think we have a quality for that. We have a quite young team here. We had a quite young team here in Brazil. So I think that we have something to build on. Of course, now we have a problem with a Balkan mentality, and, you know, things there are rarely in the middle. We don't know anything in between despair and euphoria. So after euphoria that we were in after Argentina, now I'm afraid of that, you know, card going downhill fast effect. But I hope that we'll learn our lesson here in our first major tournament, and to develop ourselves to be regulars in the major competition.
All right. Well, best of luck with that, Sasa. I hope you can cheer up soon. It was lovely to see you at the World Cup anyway.
Thank you. Thank you. Cheers.
Sasi Ibruj, who I hope we will be hearing from soon. Poor chap. Spajic. Was that one of the...
Yeah, he got a bit of a chasing.
The performances of...
a bit of chasing from Emenike, who had the pace and the power to just completely overwhelm him. And he just kept on doing it as well. But at the same time, why didn't they protect him? He was left one-on-one time and time again by Emenike. And there was just this glaring weakness on the left side of the Bosnia defence, which was pretty evident from more or less the first minute. And they did nothing to stop that happening. And it was either Musa or it was Emenike just having a field day down that side, and that's right. Where the goal came from. As much as you could criticise Spajic, at the same time, the manager should take a bit of blame for that.
Did he not drop the left back or something?
It was just so obvious that he couldn't handle it. And, you have to react to that, surely.
Well, you do, don't you? Really? You do. But they're going home. Well, they've got another game to play, and then they'll go home, and that group sits like that with Argentina on 6 points, Nigeria on 4, Iran on 1, and then Bosnia-Herzegovina.
And Nigeria haven't conceded a goal, unless you can count the
But they scored their first one in 9 hours. First since, when was it? 1998.
Yeah. But I mean, I guess as Jacob was about to say, they haven't conceded a goal in how long? They've got Inyema in goal, who was one of the best goalkeepers in Liga this season, went on that almost record-breaking...
over 1,000 minutes, wasn't it?
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it over? Yeah, okay. Well,
maybe it wasn't. I'm beginning to doubt myself now.
It was long. It was long.
Yeah.
And yeah, again, he produced... Well, I mean, some good saves tonight.
Yeah. I mean, Dzeko had a bit of a nightmare tonight in front of goal. He did score, Dzeko. It was a goal.
Yeah.
But beyond that, the chances that he missed were quite poor.
Mm.
All right. Anyway, let's have a little bit of music and then press on with Sunday's action.
Welcome Football Daily with James Richardson.
Sunday's action. Hey, Sunday's action begins in the Maracanã with Belgium against Russia. Russia that looked, a little bit sloppy in their first game. Mind you, Belgium were sluggish with Algeria, weren't they? Before they eventually came back with that storming Dreesa Mertens goal.
Yeah, they were disappointing. I mean, they were quite sluggish on the ball. Lukaku, I don't think, really worked for them up front. And Chadli as well. I mean, playing Chadli out wide. To Wilmots' credit, the way he changed things after half-time and quite quickly, I think he brought on, Fellaini to be this sort of second striker. And immediately he was posing a threat. And Mertens, of course, gives you penetration out wide and scores goals. So whether he'll play Mertens from the start, which I think I'd like to see, or he considers him a sort of impact player from the bench or not, I don't know. But I mean, they expect Russia not to play like Algeria, but to park the bus and be
Capello-esque,
defensive, rigid. So, you know, they're going to have to find different ways to beat them. But I think at least against Algeria, they showed that if, you know, plan A doesn't work in the first half, they do have a plan B.
The mood in Russia apparently is very much to bring Jagoev in to get a little bit of creativity back into the side.
Yeah, and make sure their goalkeeper
doesn't
do another.
That was trivial. That was quite spectacular, wasn't it?
Bizarre. It was truly bizarre throughout the whole game, though, because in that game you had both keepers just dropping every single shot, and then eventually one got thrown in.
Super. Which was Thibaut Courtois unlikely to do anything like that because he has never lost a game for Belgium. Did you know that? He's played 17 of them, hasn't lost any of them. That's good, isn't it? Right, and apparently Vincent Kompany is struggling with a groin strain, which would be very bad news for the Reuter Devils.
Yeah.
I mean, they do have four centre backs. Like Germany, they all play across that defence. They don't, you know, their weakness is they don't have full backs.
Really, yeah, so I think sometimes their absolute quality is a little bit overstated. I think, you know,
Belgium.
Yeah, because they've got a lot of very good players, but maybe not a lot of, as Sir Alex Ferguson might say, top players. Hazard is, and Courtois and company, and Mertens may be approaching that. But then you have kind of a lot of players who are playing
quite a lot already.
But then you have quite a lot of players who are playing, for likes of Spurs or Everton as well at the same time. And
it's quite not big clubs, Jacob.
Yeah, but they're not playing Champions League football.
You know. I guess.
Yeah, but if you look,
but I think what they do have is a lot of options, a lot of strength in depth, and they were able to change that game on. They've got strength and depth beyond a lot of sides in the competition, which enabled them to change that game.
Belgium to beat Russia?
I think they'll win. Yeah.
Yeah, James.
Yeah.
All right.
I agree.
The other game in that group, of course, South Korea, Algeria. Jacob.
Yeah, Algeria were for a long period they looked like they were going to win against Belgium. They were set up quite, you know, kind of almost Iran style in energetic off the ball, winning it back and making it difficult for Belgium to play. And then they unlike Iran, they managed to nick the goal through a penalty. In the end, they just weren't able to hold on. And I think it's when they tried to go and actually came out and tried to win the game, they got caught on the counter. So that's something they'll need to guard against South
Don't
Korea.
Try and win the game, Algeria.
Don't try. Don't leave yourself so open. But I'm guessing that South Korea don't quite have the same quality that even Hazard does to play that kind of pass through to Mertens has happened for that second Belgium goal.
I guess we're going to find out on Sunday.
Yeah.
I look forward to that. Let's talk now, though, about USA-Portugal. USA, of course, fantastic win for them against Ghana in their opener. Portugal, who got spanked by Germany 4-0, and should things go badly here, well, they're out. They are out. Let's dial up top Portuguese football expert and Mais Football's very own Vitor Hugo Alvarenga. Vitor, thanks very much for joining us, first of all, on the eve of an absolutely massive game for Portugal.
It's all or nothing for us, for Portugal tomorrow, absolutely.
Right. You're coming off your worst World Cup defeat ever, 4-0 at the hands of the Germans. And if things go wrong against the States, it would be, well, that would be the end of your World Cup adventure. What's the mood like there in Portugal?
Well, I must say it's terrible right now because we feel that this can be as our participation in the World Cup 2002 that where Portugal had Luis Figo, back then the best player in the world, that also had physical problems, and Portugal ended up losing the first game against the United States precisely, and never recovered it from. The national team won the second game, but then ended up going out in group phase when they had a good part of what we call in Portugal the golden generation. We had Figo, Rui Costa, João Pinto, Paulo Sousa, very good players.
Well, there are problems going into this game with the States. Pepe obviously is out. Fabio Coentrão is out as well, and there's all these question marks about Ronaldo, who even if he's 100% fit, is going to have a huge amount of pressure on him.
Yeah, he's surely not 100%. The players keep saying that he's 100%. The national coach also, but he's clearly in a critical state. The problem is that this question comes back to February or March when the player started feeling these problems and kept on playing, and Real Madrid wasn't able to find a solution that would help the club and also the national team of Portugal. So he got to the World Cup completely exhausted. Of course, a player always feels that he can play every game at top level, but we saw the first game against Germany. He was feeling not so loose as one can expect from Ronaldo. And maybe, well, when Portugal started losing and ended up with 10 players, Ronaldo decided, okay, I must rest for the second or the third game.
Of course, last time there was an absolutely crucial match for Portugal, the playoff with Sweden. He was the inspiration behind a massive victory for you. How confident are you that things are going to get turned around against the Americans?
I don't know. We can expect that because, like we said, Portugal plays best when under pressure. We are used to use the calculating machine because we always ended up losing points in the qualification. It was the same thing. We never seemed to be able to avoid the playoff. If you saw the national team of Portugal in Euro 2012, you have other players that could decide. You have other players in good form. Now it's a different scenario. The team is now playing more for Cristiano Ronaldo and has also other physical problems. The main players of Portugal are with physical problems, and that was proved in the game against Germany because the team lost two or three good members, especially Coentrão, who is a very important player in the left side. Mm. And this can be determined to the outcome of the match tomorrow.
All right, well, Vito, listen, I hope you can get a good night's sleep and I hope you can enjoy this game.
Yeah, surely, and it will be an interesting match, and this is an interesting group, and Ghana proved that Germany is not so strong as it seems, so this proves even more that Portugal did a terrible game, and that it can be difficult for Portugal to win the both matches. Mm-hmm. Not very confident, but let's see.
We shall see. Okay, mm-hmm. Vito, thank you so much for joining us.
No, thank you. It was an honor.
Okay, thank you. Best of luck there. Mood is bleak in Portugal then. Should Portugal and USA finish in a draw on Sunday, that means that Klinsmann and Jogi Löw can both play for a point in their final match, USA against Germany, and qualify their teams for the next round. How do you say biscotto in Deutsche, I wonder? The Americans, meanwhile, I mean, the tremendous enthusiasm after their win against Ghana. Record-breaking viewing figures for that game on ESPN, apparently.
Yeah, I watched the game in an American bar on Monday night.
Did you?
Yeah, it was quite an interesting experience.
Right. How did... Because I watched the England game with you in an English bar.
Yeah.
On whatever... That was Tuesday, wasn't it?
Thursday.
Thursday, as you say.
Yeah, we're great friends.
Yeah. Now, how did the two experiences differ, principally?
I'm sure you remember there were a couple of gentlemen at the front of the English bar making quite the noise, being quite the coaches to the English players over the TV. Whereas in the USA, in the American bar, there was a lot more whooping, a lot more free pizza, and a lot less, I think, watching of the game.
Beer pong? Beer pong?
And then shouting. You've never played beer pong?
Never played beer pong, Jumbo.
Well, apparently not. Okay, what is beer pong?
To educate you.
All right.
Well, we need...
You could play it on this table, actually.
Yeah, it'd be perfect table.
What happens?
You each put a glass of beer at the end of the
full
table. It's more of a cup, isn't it?
Yeah. It's like one of those classic American sort of... You know, American pie, like
you know, the red paper cups. That you
yeah. Oh yeah.
And then you have a ping pong ball, and you try to throw it into the other person's cup. And if you do, then they have to drink.
Yeah,
it's a great game.
All right, beer pong.
Yeah, bring it on,
beer pong. Okay,
there was a lot more. There was a lot more enthusiasm in the American bar, but maybe a lot less watching of the game, which I found quite amusing.
Right.
I was one of the people who was actually intently watching it, and everyone else was kind of just talking amongst each other and then randomly turning round whenever it sounded like America had the ball.
All right.
Yeah. But then when they scored, there was carnage.
Carnage?
Yeah.
Right. Super.
They really liked it when they won. They really liked winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what Americans do.
Winning. They really like winning.
Clint Dempsey's got a broken nose. Apparently. Do you remember he got biffed in the face? They broke his nose.
I'm surprised they let him play on.
Well,
given
they let anybody do anything in this World Cup.
Yeah, I know.
So he may well have to have one of those exciting mask things. And he could actually, you know, this Captain American thing, he could take it the whole hog. He could have a special A on his forehead.
Yeah.
And
come out with a shield as well.
A shield, which he would biff the opponents out of the way with.
That
would be great,
wouldn't
it?
Yeah, I mean, if you're going to design a kit like that, you might as well accessorize it, no?
Little wings on the heels, all that stuff. No Jose Altidore, and of course the question is then, you know, what could they do now if Landon Donovan were only there?
He's quite old, isn't he?
Well, that's true. What's going to happen in this game?
I mean, USA are sort of a team that you don't really ever want to watch for a good football match. There's not a lot of flair to their side, but at the same time, I find their
rousing spirit.
I found their spirit very endearing because they're not really that good, but they just seem to manage to pull through all the time. They're really persistent.
The Ghana game was one of the most passionate.
I mean, they had really no right to win that game, but they won the game. And
even when
they equalised, you kind of had this feeling that there might be one dramatic moment to come from USA. Mm. They don't have really enough quality to go far in the competition, but. But they're really persistent, so you can't really rule them out of any game because they'll just keep going all the time.
But a Portugal side that's missing, as we were hearing, Pepe, of course, out.
Yeah, I think USA were probably favourites for the game.
Favourites for the game?
Why not?
Because you were just saying they didn't have much quality and didn't.
That doesn't mean they can't. That doesn't mean that you can't be a good team.
Yeah. All right,
they overreached themselves.
And be defensively solid and try hard, and you know, Dempsey's an effective player.
Michael Bradley,
John Brooks.
But international football, it's quite hard to get a team to click properly.
Mm.
So if you have a team that can play together, like the USA do, you can do a lot of damage to sides that are a bit more of a shambles, like Portugal are.
Costa Rica. I mean, they don't have great individuals, but they have a good collective, good identity. It's all about the CONCACAF. CONCACAF is tearing it up in this
USA tournament. Really want to play. For the team, for the country, and you, other teams don't seem to have that same amount of pride.
All right. Well, will they remain like a well-aimed ping pong ball, beer pong ball in the cup? I mean, after this volleyball. You're just reading my brilliant link here.
I'm doiling you.
In the gap, we'll discover it.
We could do a video of this if you want. No, it'd be brilliant.
Oh, beer pong.
Yeah.
All right. Sorry, James, you were saying?
No, after the volleyball, we'll play.
Ah, pong. Yeah, we'll go and. Yeah. Good. That's it, though. That's our preview of Sunday. And I'm really looking forward to those games now.
Should be good.
Yeah. Saturday was terrific. Sunday could be even better. We shall see.
Super Sunday.
Many thanks, though, James, for taking time out to chat through this. You're away tomorrow, aren't you?
I am.
Are you?
Yeah.
Is that allowed? Is that in your contract?
I'm away for two nights.
Two nights.
Why don't you chained to that chair?
Nope.
Unfortunately, yeah, I showered and had a haircut.
There you go. So... Well, we'll see you on the other side. Jacob, many thanks for stopping by. Look forward to seeing you again soon. Producer Pete, merci beaucoup. And you, listeners, have a super Sunday. See you after.